is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, never pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Heavenly armor will enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. The power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Enemy presses in hard, do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Power and strength to the Lord. Power and strength to the Lord. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would just fully rely on you, that we would fully rely on the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, that we would look to you for our salvation, for our comfort in trial, for our strength in temptation, and Lord, for our hope of resurrection, and that our desire would be to know you more, be to be with you and worship you, Lord, and live in obedience to you. We thank you for the amazing promises through your Son, Jesus Christ. For the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that are found in him. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Silas. Children's Church, you're dismissed at this time. Thank you, Miss Kelly. If you have your Bibles, it'll be in Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. We're going to cover a little bit of ground today. When I recorded this, it was one of the shorter sermons, so you'll be happy. So Matt won't, because you don't get as long a nap as you usually get. So, but the reason why is because it's a very clear message. It's a very simple, clear message, and I could complicate it by going a little deeper, getting some, but I'm not smart enough to do that. So you're good. It's going to be very good. But we're going through Jeremiah for a reason. Jeremiah is a prophet of God to people who are not going to listen to him. They're just not. And he has no success in getting anybody to turn to God during that time that we see. And the things that he's fighting against, the things that he comes up against, are very similar to what we come up against in the world today, a world that is anti-God and doesn't want anything to do with them. And yet he continues in faith, preaching and doing what God tells him to do. So we're going to take a little bit of a different look at Jeremiah today. We've been looking at what he's been saying and how his preaching has not been received. But we're also called by God to be living examples for him. God told Timothy to be an example to believers in conduct and word. And Jeremiah is going to be asked to do something really unusual in this chapter. And so let's follow this in verse 1 of chapter 13. Jeremiah writes, "Thus the Lord said to me, go and get yourself a linen sash." In the Old King James, it is a linen girdle. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail in a minute. We're going to read some verses that talk about girding your loins or girding yourself up. And what it would be, if you were getting ready to work, that you would take that linen girdle and you would gird up the loose ends of your robes so that you could run and work and not be hindered. So we have this dual meaning of the sash or the girdle. One is it is a time to get busy working for God or get busy doing things. And the other is it's also part of the high priest's wear, and it represents kind of a connection to God. So let's look at this linen girdle. He said to put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. So don't wash it. So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. So let's stop right there for a second. This is really what the lesson is about today. Jeremiah is going to be asked to do some unusual things in this chapter, and he just does them. He asks no questions. He doesn't hesitate. And he says in verse 2, I got the sash or the girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. So why did he put it around his waist? Because the Lord asked him to do. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God asks us to do. And if you will simply do those things, you know, this is probably one of those common questions, and Cassius remembers from our junior high classes, you know, that the questions, they come rapid fire sometimes. And one of the most common questions would be, how do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, the answer to that is, if you do what you know you're supposed to do, the rest of it falls into place. So what are some things we know we're supposed to do? Well, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman in need not to be ashamed. So one thing we're supposed to be doing is studying. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So what are we supposed to be doing there? Praying. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as we're doing here. The Bible says go to every nation and preach the gospel. Let's just take those four. Study, pray, assemble, church, and share Jesus with people. Those are four basic tenets of the Christian walk that we ought to be part of in somehow, some way. And so what Jeremiah does is verse 2, I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. That is Christianity 101. That's the basics. Whatever the word of God says to do, we do it. And if the word of God says not to do something, we don't do it. And because of that, we're all perfect in this room, aren't we? Yeah. It's a walk that we stumble, but we can stumble 1,000 times and God will pick us back up and we keep going. Verse 3 says, so the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the sash or the girdle that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates. Hide it there in a hole in the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And this is the basics of the basics. All through the scripture, we are encouraged to just do what God commands us to do. He was told to take this girdle or sash and go to the Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates is, as you know, the Tigris and Euphrates River. Today, they are in the nation of, anybody know? How's your geography? Iraq, which is where, at that time, Babylon was. It's where Nebuchadnezzar is. It's where Israel is going to be taken captive in a short amount of time. And so he kind of illustrates this parable of God. It's an Old Testament parable, by taking this linen girdle. And it's funny because a lot of different writers or theologians or people that you read, they say, well, it wasn't the Euphrates River, it was Epaphra. He only took it about 6 miles away, because the Euphrates River is about a month and a half journey. 1,000 miles or so. There's no reason to not think that that's what God asked him to do, and that's what he did. But sometimes when things in the Bible, they say, oh, that can't be that way. We just change it. Don't change it. It's significant that he went to the Euphrates because it's a picture of where Judah will be carried to. And he buries this girdle or this sash. And he says at the end of verse 5, as the Lord commanded me. And we're going to take a little break here and talk about that phrase. All through the scripture, and this is what you have to just simply ask yourself, am I doing all the things that God has commanded me to do? And let's look at a couple verses that have to deal with this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, considered the wisest man, and he is looking at life under the sun. And he says all is vanity and all is vanity. And he begins to give a poetic picture of life without Jesus. And he says it's all grasping at the wind. And so here is Solomon. By the way, did Solomon have money? Yeah. Did Solomon have power? Did Solomon have girls? Does anybody remember how many wives he had? 700. Yeah. So Solomon had everything men would think would make them successful in life. Man, if I had money, if I had power, if I had wisdom. And he looks at life under the sun, and at the end of the book, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this is the matter. The question is, what is life all about under the sun? It's all vanity without God. And he says, this is what life is all about. It's not about power. It's not about prestige. It's not about my girlfriends. It's not about any of those things. Fear God and what? Keep his commandments. That's your whole purpose on this planet. This is man's all. Just do what God says to do. And if God tells you to put a sash girdle on and go 1,000-mile journey and bury it in a rock, that's what you do. But God, why? But I don't understand. Why would you have this? I don't get... No, just put it on. Walk the walk. Bury it. Go home. He didn't know why he was doing this. He's already been under a lot of pressure. Remember, last week we talked about the fact that they wanted to what? Kill him. He's getting a little frustrated, yet he's still following God. Look at 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. This verse got to me, only the last part of it. A lot of times people stay away from following God because they're afraid of what he might ask him to do. Well, if I surrender to God, what if he wants me to go to like Africa? What if he wants me to travel to what if he wants me to bury a sash 1,000? I'm afraid of what God might ask me to do, so I don't feel comfortable surrendering. Well, God says, my yoke is easy and my what? Burden is light. When I started studying and praying and assembling and sharing, it's not a burden. Life became lighter. You know what becomes burdensome? When I become weighed down by every sin that does so easily beset me. The Bible says, lay aside every weight. The Bible says we become slaves to sin. Do you notice that we get addicted to the things that are not good? You know, there's no broccoli-holics in here. I just can't stop eating broccoli and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, we get addicted to things that aren't good for us. And so because of that, we have to be careful that we don't look at God's commandments as being burdensome. The truth shall set you free. 1 John 2, 3. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word and truly the Son of God is perfected in him. Boy, this is a harsh verse, isn't it? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. One of my incredible verses. We're going to be talking about this verse a lot the next couple of weeks, but let's go to the next one. Luke 6:46. This is very important. Can we read that together if you can see it? Ready, begin. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That is the bottom line. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, you will be saved. But the word Lord has a meaning. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? Jeremiah called Jesus Lord. And if the Lord tells you to put on a sash around your waist and walk it to the Euphrates and bury it in the ground, what do? You put on a sash and you walk to the Euphrates and you bury it in the ground. If you say no, then Jesus says, why do you even call me Lord then? If the title means master, and this gets down to the nitty-gritty, because if you call Jesus Lord, remember the Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus says, you know, I never knew you. Why? Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, we can all do that. We can all say, Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, you will be saved. So the belief comes in next. So why do you call Jesus Lord if we're not going to study and pray and assemble? You need to have what did James say about faith? Faith without what? Works is dead. In other words, if you truly believe Jesus is Lord, there'll be outward evidence of it. I don't have to take this sash and go bury it in order to be saved. But if I truly believe God is Lord and he asked me to do it, then I'll do it. Because if I say no, then I'm this verse. Then don't call me Lord. If you're not going to do what I say. So my question to you is very simple. Is Jesus your Lord? Your words may say yes, but how do your actions share that? How do your actions reveal that? You don't have to be perfect. I have a great desire to please God. I fail multiple times a day, but it's my desire to please him. It's my desire to serve him. I want to be able to stand before somebody who holds a gun to my head and ask me to deny my faith and me stand up and say, I will never deny my faith. I so want to be that guy. I'm not that guy. But I trust that if that moment ever comes, Jesus will turn me into that guy. Does that make sense? My strength comes from him alone. Luke 6:46, and after this verse, it goes on to talk about if you do what God says, you're like a man who builds his house upon a rock, but someone who does not obey God is like a man who builds his house upon the sand. So, obedience, keeping his commandments. So let's get into why God asks Jeremiah to do such a kind of offbeat kind of a thing. Well, let's look at a couple verses on the girdle. The first one we'll look at is 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the loins are the loose robes that you're wearing. To gird them up is to kind of take a sash or a girdle and tighten them around so that you can, you know, the Bible says when you run a race, you lay aside every weight. You know, you don't see the sprinters in the Olympics wearing their snowsuits. They usually wear light clothes so they can get down quickly. And so gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts and ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So you see this idea of being obedient children. It says that in verse 14 after 1 Peter 13. And so this idea is getting ready to obey. Ephesians 6:14, when it talks about the armor of God, it says, having girded your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you gird up and you're ready to face the truth. And so the first point of this sash or girdle is obedience to God and service to God. But there's more to it. Let's go back to Jeremiah 13 and look at God's description of why he's having him do this. In verse 6 it says, it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there. And I went and took to the Euphrates. I dug and took the sash or the girdle from the place where I'd hidden it. And there was the sash ruined. It was profitable for nothing. So there's an illustration in this little girdle. Illustration in this little sash. As he went after days, so it would probably have been there for, you know, 2 or 3 months. And when he gets there, it's absolutely ruined. It's no good. You can imagine burying something in the wet ground next to a river and just let it sit there for months and then taking it out. It would be useless, unable to be used. And by the way, anything that's hidden is unusable. We are to be the light of the world. Look at Matthew 5:14. I know you know these verses. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not only is the sash no good because it's been buried, we're no good for God if we do not shine as lights in the world. It's important that we take this responsibility serious and that we don't hide our faith because we fear what man will say or the repercussions. God wants us to be useful. So then in Jeremiah 13:8, God gives the explanation of this very strange illustration. He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, in verse 8, Jeremiah 13, thus saith the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. God says, here's the point I'm making. Judah, my people, at one time were wonderful. They would serve me. We brought them out of Egypt and did many miracles. And now they've followed, instead of keeping my commandments, they decided they were going to live their life whatever way they wanted to. They turned to other gods. They went by the dictates of their heart. They followed their heart. Anybody? Followed their heart. Watch that statement. Keep the commandments of God. Our heart is wicked and deceitful. And they went away from God. And God said, what used to be something beautiful. Look what he says in verse 11. This is incredible. For the sash that clings to the waist of man, as the sash clings to the waist of man, so I've caused the whole house of Israel and my whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they might become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear. He says, this is the point. There was a time when Israel, my people, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Joshua, the God of King David, those times when God was revered and loved, Israel shined like a light in the darkness of the world. And they were revered by God. In fact, God says, look at the end of that verse. They were renowned, meaning they were known. Remember, other nations were so intimidated by the God of Israel. They were praised and glory. And what a nation. Remember Abraham said, I'll make you a great nation. Well, when they turned away from him, the greatness went away. Sound familiar? That would happen to any nation who was once a nation under God and then said, we don't want you anymore, God. No matter how renowned and great that nation once was, they turn into this sash which is profitable for nothing. That's true about individuals. It's true about us. We have a choice. We can keep the commandments of God that are not burdensome, or we can just follow the dictates of our heart. We can cling to God, or we can leave him alone to become that dirty, tattered, unprofitable sash. Psalm 119:31 says, I will cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you enlarge my heart. We want to cling to the testimonies of God. The Bible says if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. This is these verses, I would encourage you to kind of read them a lot during the week. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. The purpose of the girdle is it clings. And God says, Israel, would you cling to me? Man, your nation was great. You were well known to the praise and the glory of God. But when you followed the dictates of your own heart, you were no good, unprofitable. And so God says to us to cling to what is good and abhor what is evil. And then he tells us how to do this. He says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. So we take the study and prayer, assembling, sharing the faith, and then we can add to that to be kind. It's very important that you're a kind person. God wants you to be kind. In honor or giving preference to one another, we put other people first. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. There's all kinds of ways to serve the Lord. Sometimes it's taking care of your family and taking care of, you know, I went over to the Browns on Friday and they were having their weekly Bible study and lesson time with their grandkids. That's serving the Lord. I mean, that is just serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, Nineveh Saturday, given to hospitality. See, there's more than the study and the prayer and the assembling. We want to cling to those things that are good. Be kind instead of being rude. Give preference to others instead of being selfishly all about myself. Distributing to the needs of the saints instead of taking. We are a peculiar people, the Bible says. We ought to be different. We ought to be the salt and light of this earth. We ought to change people's attitude towards God by what they see in us. Cling to God. Otherwise, we become unprofitable. Look at Titus 3:8. It says, this is a faithful saying, and the things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We're here as servants of God, and we are soldiers of Christ that get up every morning and report for duty. And God, what do you want me to do today? In the book of Philemon, there was a slave that had run away. And as the slave had run away, he came across the Apostle Paul, The Apostle Paul led him to Christ, sent him back to his owner, and then he wrote a letter. And at the end of this letter, he writes this: I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Onesimus is the name of the slave. Philemon was the friend of Paul's. He says, whom I begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. That's the story of our lives. There was a time when we followed the dictates of our heart and we never thought about God. We didn't care about God and we were unprofitable to anyone. But now that we have the Holy Spirit within us, now that we know Jesus Christ, now that we know how a person gets to heaven, now that we know that we are to pray, we are to study, we are to be kind and meet the needs and give other people preference, we have a purpose in life. But that'll fill your day doing all those things. And so we get up and say, God, what is it we're supposed to do for you today? Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. God's got a work for you. I don't know what it is. Maybe he wants you to walk to the Euphrates River and bury a girdle in the ground. And then we're going to get a girdle and walk to the Euphrates and bury it. That's the Christian walk. Romans 15:5 says, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is really purpose number 5, just to glorify God in everything you do. You know, God said, when you were clinging to me, Israel, you were renowned, you were known, and you had praise and glory. Well, let's switch that around. We are to make the name of Jesus known. We are to give him the praise. And we are to glorify him in everything we do. We want to cling to God. Do you remember Jacob when the angel came to him? And the angel was leaving. What did Jacob do? He grabbed on the angel. He would not let him go till he was blessed. That's how we need to view Jesus. We need to cling to him like that sash, that girdle, and not let go and glorify his name, praise his name, and keep his commandments, ready to do anything that he tells us to do, no matter what it might be, no matter what plans you had, that God changes. I'm telling you, as an old man, looking back at my life, the times I trusted God was when the blessings came. The times I followed the dictates of my heart or said no to God is when the trials came, is when the trouble came. So you have a decision to make. God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Is he Lord in your life? Or is he not? Silas, we're going to do Give Me Jesus. Is that okay? The end. And we're going to sing this last song. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And when I come time to die, give me Jesus. That's the simple message. And the rest is completely up to you. Either he is Lord of all or not Lord at all. Would we be willing to walk to the Euphrates River, bury a sash without having any knowledge of why we're doing it? That's a victorious life. If you'll trust God, if you'll just really trust him and say, okay, God, I surrender. You get to be the Lord of my life. In all thy ways, I acknowledge you. You direct my path. Boy, things will change. And what you think is going to be burdensome, it actually takes it all away. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. It's a simple one, one that we all know, but one that is difficult to grasp. Lord, because sometimes you come to us and ask us to do things that are hard, that we don't understand. Lord, help us to follow the example of Jeremiah without questioning you, just to get up and go. God, you tell us that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness, because when God told him to get up and go, he just got up and went. even to the point of laying his son upon an altar, prepared to sacrifice his own son. But Lord, we know that he believed you'd raise him from the dead. God, help us to have that type of faith, that type of trust. It's difficult. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us the strength to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. I stand and we'll close with Give Me Jesus. Makes it plain in this chapter that when Israel was clinging to them, there was great success, and when they stopped, they were profitable for nothing. And yet, they still would not hear him. So next week, we're going to talk about why a person would not cling to God. Why? What would stop them if they knew what they knew? And that will tie right into Palm Sunday also. So God bless you. Have a great day. There are oranges and lemons, there's plenty of them in the foyer, so please take some home today. And Wana at 5 and Bible study at 6:30. God bless you. Have a great day.